Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Ian Rush and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Dust off your skateboards, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. Lovely to have you here. My name is Marcus and Jim's to my left.
Hello.
Pete's opposite.
Wagwan.
Luke is on the right.
All right.
Just geographically, not politically. Now, Harry Redknapp said in the press recently that he would not take the England job if offered it, even in the future, which I suppose would where the offer would lie.
Yeah, well, he's not going to be offered it in the past, is he?
He has been by many a tabloid hack.
Has been.
I'd like you to name a memorable lie that someone from the world of football has told before that tickled your pink, Jim.
I'm going to go for a classic, which we've not spoken about for quite a while. This was an absolute, you know, Ramble favourite, but Stephen Ireland.
Oh, no.
I thought of that.
Yes.
Stephen Ireland making up his dead nans. Like, yeah. He's like 40 dead nans or whatever it was, so he could get out of international duty. Yeah.
An army of dead nans.
Stephen Ireland, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah. He's just sort of gone since then, isn't it? He's just disappeared.
Blimey, yeah.
That was that in many ways was his cultural summit.
I think he's fallen out of love with being mental.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
And football.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good start. Solid start there. That was because when he was away, or didn't go away for international duty.
Because he told them that one of his nans was dead. And then, did he phone back?
They checked and then he said, no, it's my other nan.
Right, and then they checked again. Yeah. I love that he just thought they wouldn't check again.
No. But it was quite a serious issue.
Yeah, of course it was. It was huge.
His girlfriend was pregnant and something happened.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah,
so he didn't need to do the lie, which is what makes it funny.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
And when he sort of said, I'll just go and get my girlfriend, and he went out of the room and came back in a wig, that was just pushing it too far.
When the penny started to drop.
Yeah, he does love a Nando's, though.
He does.
There's this little place in England called Nando's.
Nando's.
Oh, that's unfair.
What?
That is unfair.
She didn't really die.
Yeah, no, nobody died. No nans have been harmed.
In 1993, nobody died.
That comment was so controversial that Luke suddenly got on his extremely high horse.
Yeah. Can I just say, Nanecdote deserved better?
Jim always slips in the odd gag there that nobody's picked up on.
That's very true. Yeah. Does that happen on stage as well?
Endlessly.
Pete, what have you got
for us? Well, I've got Sodolma, because I've already established, because that's what I was going to go for. I was going to go for Stephen Ireland's five hands.
John Terry.
That's my one, you prick!
You must have told more than one.
You told me that bit of chat then wasn't an effort to procrastinate.
Taribo West, that's come out this week.
What was his age? Right?
Yeah,
he's talking.
He's 55 or something.
Now you're talking.
When he retired, he was 46 or something.
I think Jonathan Wilson worked out that he said, "Oh, I was invited to Taribo West's 28th birthday party," and he did the calculation and said, "Oh, that means it was his 40th birthday party." So it was actually a better birthday party.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think it was Jonathan Wilson. It was definitely a football writer.
Yeah, I was spoken to. Jonathan Wilson,
did that end up happening?
Yeah, I can't imagine him holding
because
himself.
Because I think he's a football writer that's actually respected.
Yeah, that's right.
Footballers invite him to things. I wouldn't know anything about it.
He writes about football because he loves football. But I think it was maybe when Tour West was in Milan. Mm-hmm. There was something going along there. I like that. But I think, though, when they sort of go, oh, shock, West was this, and oh, dear, oh, dear, I think... What an achievement! that's absolutely outrageous. He was playing in Europe's top leagues when he was in his late 30s and 40s. Bloody hell, man! They should all come out and say this because the Invincibles.
Imagine if I did that and the average age of the football was actually like 38.
It would be superb. Yeah.
It means that we still have a chance.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was awesome.
A young sort of guy in his early 20s thinking, okay, I've got 7 years. Oh no, I haven't. Luke, what you got?
John Terry.
Yes.
In the Champions League when he got sent off against Barcelona.
Okay.
You didn't think I was going to go for that one, did you?
I thought you were getting court case.
No. On the advice of the Ramble lawyers, I was told to go for the semi-final against Barcelona.
The last few years.
The Ramble lawyers, you phone 118 118.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. When he basically... tries to give, is it Alexis Sanchez, a dead leg? For yes. No, like a playground style dead leg.
Yeah, yeah.
With the world's media watching him. And then he said, no, he checked his run. And so it wasn't my fault. And then he looked at the video afterwards and went, oh, yeah, it does look a bit worse than that.
I love the, like, he must be hoping that the video will also lie with him, that the reality will change. I think he's sort of correlated story.
I think he's in that much of a bubble. A John Terry bubble that recorded evidence will follow suit.
At the time we were actually saying, well, of course you know what actually happened because you did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do you mean?
And it wasn't one of those ones where it was in the heat of a moment where he hit someone and it was very calculated.
Yeah.
Well, for me it shows the measure of the man. Yeah. But it shows the measure of the man. Mm. Because if he had been like in any way a decent human being, he would have said, yeah, sorry about that, everyone. Yeah.
I was just a bit of a snide prick.
Yeah, I've let my team down. I've let all the travelling fans down.
He played well in the final, though, didn't he?
He did, yeah, very well. Yeah. Did well. Not a mark or anything.
That sort of counts as a lie as well, doesn't it? All of those photos count as a lie.
Clean shorts.
Yeah.
Classic defender. Yeah. But I do like that, how it's a semi-final of a Champions League at the Nou Camp.
Yeah.
His second leg, it's like, no one's watching. Quick, boom.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what a checked run is.
Yeah.
It just makes me sort of doubt my own idea of what a checked run is.
I've seen you play up front, so I understand. But also with John, I know that UEFA sort of said that they had to get in his kit and that sort of crap, and so he wasn't completely to blame for that. But I still reckon.
Yeah, no, let's blame
him. In the bar afterwards, I reckon he was saying to girls, "Yeah, I didn't commit a single foul in tonight's final." Didn't get booked.
Oh dear. I'm going to go for Gerard Houllier, who's won before, eating the grass.
Oh, Robbie Fowler, when he was pretending to snort up a line off the touchline.
Exactly. Yes. When he scored against Everton, snorted a line, pretended to snort a line if he came in front of the Everton fans, and Houllier was like, well, they do this in training all the time where they pretend to eat the grass in celebration.
Massive celebrations.
A classic celebration for every schoolboy on the pitch. So, who's got the points? Who's got the bit? What was your one, Jim?
Ireland.
Stephen Ireland. It's got to be Pete Donaldson.
Yay.
Or is that a lie? Did he just maybe not know? That's why they keep on going so long.
What, he didn't know how old he was?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think that's the key, isn't it?
Would it swear your decision if I promised to give the points, dedicate the points to John Terry?
Nonsense. let's go to the Premier League and Redknapp's QPR. They got a good point at home to Wigan. Or did they? they started off quite brightly, actually, and they hit the post, and then Zamora unfairly got sent off. Can we all agree?
Your man.
Bobby Z.
Once the solution to England's striking problems, Bobby Zamora, got sent off for booting a Wigan player in the head. Who was the player? I forget.
Gomez.
Who then got booed for the rest of the game. For the rest of the game. Is shit.
Studs on the side of the face.
Yeah. You've got to, I mean, it has actually cost QPR there, clearly. It looked for a time that it wouldn't have cost them on the day because they went a goal ahead and they almost closed the game out. But it still would have cost them, really, because he would have been suspended.
Yeah.
And he's one of their big players. He's important. You've got to really question his state of mind if he's doing that in a game of that importance.
Yeah. It was such a strange one.
When is it ever a good idea to kick a person in the face?
Yeah. Well, there are occasions. Back to John Terry.
Exactly.
Abu Diaby did a great job that time.
Yeah.
John Hartson, as Pete said. But it wasn't good. We don't like that kind of behaviour.
No.
Studs to the face and then obviously sent off. He couldn't understand why he was sent off.
I've interviewed Bobby Zamora on more than one occasion. He's not that thick. He definitely knows what he's done.
But I think Zamora, he probably just went in half-heartedly, went, I'll try and get
it. But he was so late as well.
I know he was, but I just think he completely switched off. I don't think it was malicious. I think he switched off and was like, I'll stick my foot in.
Done that 5 minutes from the end after a game of doggies where he's knackered and he really wants to win the ball. It's no excuse for
that. No, there is no excuse. Yeah, but I'm saying that's why I suspect he was so surprised at the decision to send him off, because in his head he probably's just put out a boot and I've not got the ball, not to worry. But as you say, at that stage in the game, well, at any stage of a game, it's such an important one, he shouldn't be doing it.
The other thing is, by the way, just to sort of re-emphasise the fact that a lot of modern fans these days are just absolutely clueless.
Yeah.
Is they booed. A lot of QPR fans booed Yuri Gomez, presumably for getting kicks in the head. I understand that if they maybe thought that that he was playing acting a bit and he sort of lived up, sort of tried to get him sent off, but he did get a boot in the head, right?
Yeah.
Secondly, a load of those fans were clapping Zamora off. Yeah, why are you clapping your striker off after he's got sent off in a relegation battle after 20 minutes? You should be beside you. Normally, football fans don't need an excuse to become outraged about any little thing. Why are you clapping him off? He stuck his boot 6 foot in the air under someone's head. Fine, you should be berating him for that.
Fine 20 minutes, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know. In many ways, he's put a massive 20-minute shift in there, and he should be applauded.
Yes, exactly.
Huge, huge.
That's the other side of the argument.
Well done, Bobby.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great 20 minutes, Bob. That's what Joe Jordan says.
Especially because like Harry's got to say that the rest of our season hinges on Bobby so much.
He did say that, didn't he? Yeah, maybe the pressure went to Zamora's head.
The hinge being in the
it's all about me.
So he put it on someone else's head.
Another QPR player worth pointing out is Stefan Mbia, who had a classic Mbia game in his whole life in microcosm. Basically, on one side, he breaks away and lays a nice ball off of Remy with a magnificent finish and sets up the goal. And the next minute, he's pushing someone over and giving away a needless free kick, and they can see it. And that sums Mbia, from what I've seen of him, that massively sums him up. He makes crazy decisions sometimes.
A very enthusiastic man.
We were analysing the free kick, whether I sort of said that Trapp could have possibly deflected that ball if he didn't sort of flinch away from it.
He ducked, didn't he? He did a bit of ducking, he jumped and then ducked.
He sort of pushed his shoulder out when he could have just, if he'd taken one to the face.
Yeah.
Like Clint Hill did a few minutes before. Almost took his head actually
off.
But
that is a frustrating thing, surely, for a fan to see Tarrant. I mean, okay, he's jumped, fair enough. I always think a wall should jump. But then clearly ducks out the way and the ball sails in.
Like, I mean, in the short time we've been speaking about this game, we've spoken about three utterly, utterly ridiculous incidents that have needlessly cost QPR. And it just shows they just don't have what it takes, do they? They're too silly to be in the league. I can't think of any other team that's been relegated because they've been too silly.
What they should have had in the wall is the wage bill, and that's big enough.
Good stuff. I saw, it's touching what Jim just mentioned there. I think Lee Dixon wrote something that I read a while back, maybe a week or two ago, and he said, look, for all the narrative that's around QPR, the Redknapp sign, the players they've brought in, a lot of people are losing sight of the fact that actually QPR have been really average all season. Everyone, it's almost been a season of people thinking, well, they're going to hit some form at some point.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about individual areas like we did with the last QPR game as well, and the game against Villa and that sort of stuff. The fact of the matter is, people have got to take collective responsibility, including the manager. You can't say, well, the manager's done a really good job, but they're making individual errors. The manager's, part of his job is to instill concentration in the team. Andre Villas-Boas saw Spurs, to link it into back to Spurs. Andre Villas-Boas saw that Spurs were conceding a lot of late goals, and he changed the training regime around. You can definitely change it. You can influence it. And it may not be the case, because I don't think Bobby Zamora is that kind of player, but it could be that Redknapp's sending them out far too pumped up.
Well, no, but that sort of stuff makes sense, because they seem to just panic and make crazy decisions based on pure adrenaline.
So hang on, you're not saying anything's Harry's fault with.
I wouldn't dare to comment in such a manner.
I reckon he plays.
Well, if you are, then you can just get out of the media.
Well, listen, all I will say about QPR fans that are supportive of Redknapp, which is obviously their decision, make the most of it, because as soon as you go down, he'll be long gone. You will not see that man for dust.
What do you think, Pete? Redknapp to blame or not to blame?
Well, yeah, he was brought in on a ticket of being the man motivator, the man who's going to give them at least 6 or 7 matches.
And you can, and by the way, Harry, you can sign whoever you want. Whoever you want, you can sign.
Loic Remy will sign for you.
Yeah.
He's there all right. Do you not think?
Yeah, well,
he's still right.
I'm sorry. Didn't pick up on your tones there. Sorry, my mistake. I think with the that's right, I was going to say, was it one of the commentators said something, was it Alan Smith who said QPR are averaging a point a game under Redknapp, and if he'd have been there the whole time, then they'd be okay.
Well, it wouldn't.
Exactly, that's not how football works, for a start. And secondly, would 36 points or whatever it is,
38
points be enough?
Well, you don't know.
Maybe this season.
But the point is, it's not exactly going to be plain sailing, is it? If you stand at 38 points, you're not having a comfortable season, are you?
It'd be a bit boring if every game is a draw.
You're not sipping the champers.
Well, especially if you drop one point, you're like, oh, crap. If you lose one match, you're like, shit.
We've got 38 points to get this season, boys. Southampton's fortunes are much better.
Yep.
They fantastic win against Reading, 2-0. Does that condemn Reading, Jim?
Yeah, I think Reading same, as we were saying a couple of weeks ago, they're just not good enough, are they? It's showing they've got a lot of spirit about them, got a lot of fight about them, and they've got some good players in there, and they're just an interesting and likable team, but they are just not up to it.
They've got a lot of Danny Guthrie about them. That's two relegations in about four years.
He's
not
a
feel for
the
DG.
He's the new Nigel Quasi. They're not good enough. They're not strength enough. It marked sort of opposition to QPR, who have spent a lot of money. Reading have spent hardly anything, like six or 7 million maybe.
Well, Reading pretty much had the team they came up with, didn't they?
Exactly. And Southampton were excellent though. They against Reading, they knocked it about lovely.
Jay Rodriguez is having a really, really good season.
Well, under Pochettino, he's been superb, hasn't he? I mean, he was slightly fortunate with the finish, but it was another nice move from Southampton. Yeah. As you say, Luke, they're knocking the ball about much nicer. Pochettino, they look far more tactically, in a better shape than they did under Adkins.
One conclusion I'll draw from Southampton compared to Southampton under Adkins is, and obviously I thought, as most people did, that Adkins had earned the right to be there.
Oh, Adkins, we're not slagging him off going, oh, now they got rid of him.
He took over when they weren't doing that much in League One, so he's earned the right. Yeah, but the difference being that, and I don't necessarily believe that you have to be a great player to be a great manager, because there's obviously examples of that, but Pochettino looks to me like he's instilling like almost like a continental, nicely experienced, tactical aware side that knock it about nicely. They press really well together, they're really well organised. They don't just press in ones or twos, they press all over the place. And against a team like Reading, who they know they're better than, he's got a lot of confidence in them, and they know they can steamroller a team like Reading, and they did that. And I think they've been good under Pochettino, even in the games they haven't picked up points. Well, they maybe could have done. They've still done well, and they've also outclassed it. Like good teams, Man City and stuff. They really deserve to win that game.
Yeah,
and so I think they've been excellent. I think if they strengthen next season, they'll really kick on.
I mean, they're 6 points from safety now.
They're 11th now, I think. Aren't they?
Right. In that match, though, there's so many missed chances. Lafondre missed one.
He did. He rushed, didn't he?
I don't know how he managed to do it though. Like
he really snatched at that, didn't
he? Into the ground every single time. And they Reading could have had a penalty as well. I think it's.
He had some crazy statistic, Lafondre, at one point where when he went for that patch where he won Manager of the Month.
Yeah,
and I think he scored something like six
Manager
goals.
Manager of the Month.
That would be some effort, wouldn't it? Yeah. he won Player of the Month, and he scored something like six goals in 90 minutes of football because he kept coming off the bench and scoring.
Amazing!
It's
excellent.
Another great away win was for Aston Villa away to Stoke City, 3-1.
Yeah. No goals like that in that. It was very scrappy, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was brilliant because it was like kind of that mixture of a really, really fucking important goal and a really, really flipping decent one.
Yeah,
as well,
Leon's goal, of course. Yeah,
Leon, I
loved
it.
Absolutely
under pressure as well. So yeah, like it wasn't.
They
like,
closed him down as well, didn't they?
It wasn't like Tony of nobody around him. It was like just a
You're absolutely right, Peter. Because what's great about that is you would have had a big old celebration anyway, even if it was like a toe poke 2 yards out. So
it just makes it all the sweeter.
And he couldn't leather it straight. He had to drop behind the keeper, and so he went so high and so low in such a short space.
He took off his chest as well.
Yeah,
he executed it beautifully.
I loved Pulis's comments. You know, Pulis, I mean, they lost the game and they're in terrible form, so you can sort of understand them being a bit of a bad mood. I mean, obviously it's partly his fault. But
And they're 3 points above the drop zone.
They're in trouble.
Yeah, they are.
Villa are only two.
But Pulis said something quite funny when he was asked about a Loughton goal. I mean, you'd like to think a manager would be like, wow, it's a great goal. You know, well done to him. Yeah. He actually went, Pulis said something like, well, I've not checked the statistics on how often he scores goals like that. And it's like, no.
That's
still
irrelevant.
It's a goal. It's happened. You can't take it away from him because he doesn't normally do it.
Well, he's never done that before, so we can chalk it off.
Yeah. Was it good? You'd have to ask Opta.
And what difference does it make?
He's just the most joyless bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, he really
it's
is.
Almost like it comes out in his football.
We've touched on this, and it is really a case of with teams like Pulis managers. It's a case of like dance with the devil, because fans will put up with it for a certain amount of time, but as soon as you start not winning games and you really struggle, they've turned you like that, and rightly so, because you're playing one up front at home every game with John Walters just behind. Well, they're not going to accept it.
Why should they accept it? 3 points above the relegation zone,
A lot of money.
Teams are getting drawn in.
He has spent so much money, and as we've said before as well, momentum is so important at this stage of the season. Look at what's happening to Sunderland now. Mm. Stoke have won 1-12, I think, which is obviously relegation form. So.
Yeah, well, Sunderland in trouble there, on the same points as Wigan.
I thought defensively they were quite good today, but it's just kind of like
they've just got
nothing up top.
I didn't see them.
Well, they lost 2-1 away at Chelsea.
They go a goal ahead.
They did go a goal ahead.
Yeah, Decanio had them. They were one up, so the half-time dressing room would have been an interesting place to be. But as we said before, fascism doesn't work, and they lost 2-1.
John Terry was
playing. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, yeah. But moving on swiftly, but.
I like how you're scared of accusing John Terry of being a little bit right wing when, you know, the other side of it is a man with a Mussolini tattoo. Unless you've got a Mussolini tattoo, I refuse to call you.
I also love the PR bit of Terry sidling up to De Canio going, this guy's worse than me. If I sidle up to him, I'll be all right. And De Canio going, no, stay away.
Well, no, I just think that fascism is a political belief system. Obviously, has a lot more to it than that. And John Terry in politics. Two things I wouldn't have thought would be in the same sentence, but it was quite funny when we mentioned last week, as a lot of people did, De Canio talking about no, I'm not. I'm quite a good guy. My two best friends were Trevor Sinclair and Chris Powell, and Chris Powell has come out and basically said that's not really been the case. Hasn't he?
Yeah.
He said it feels like I've been used to sort out someone else's problem. We were teammates for a year in 2003 at Charlton, and he was a great signing. There was no doubting that.
Well, maybe De Canio just was thinking of a different black guy. It's all just a case of mistaken identity.
Yeah, it could be.
We've not heard from Trevor Sinclair yet.
I also like the way the Observer picked up on De Canio saying, oh, I've never been a fascist, blah, blah. They found a quote from him from 442 magazine from about 6 or 7 years ago where he says, why can't a social idea of a radical right wing be expressed democratically? The communists do it and no one says a word. Then they break my balls. Come on. Yes, I'm a fascist. So what? And I mean, that is quite unequivocal.
I love how that snowballed.
He's got a tattoo
so
of Mussolini.
Did you see him? Have I Got News For You? They were talking about this. And they showed pictures of him at like a very, very well-known fascist funeral. Mm. And he was stood there and went, yeah, he's just stood in the crowd attending a funeral. And then it cuts
wearing his black shirt.
Yeah. And it cuts to...
reading the Daily Mail.
not naughty at all, very well said. Then it cuts to a picture of the coffin being led through the crowd and everyone's giving it like the right handed salute, and I think I forget who was presenting and he just said
they're waving.
Yeah, he just went, it was just a unified wave goodbye, isn't it? Terrible stuff. Anyway, let's seriously move on. Sunderland lost 2-1, they're in trouble, but Newcastle, who I think had slipped under the radar quite a bit in the relegation battle. I mean, they're still in it. They're not quite out of it, but a great win at home to Fulham. Cisse with a vital one.
Goal. Knocking on the door all match for that. I also think it was a really, really good match. Mark Schwarzer, it's going to be lovely to see him at the World Cup because he will go. And it'll be lovely. So he'll be like 41, 42 by
something
then.
Like that.
He's still got enough in the tank. He was
Taribo West is looking at him thinking there's years to go.
Very unimpressive for Nigerians.
There's a lovely
Taribo West will be thinking, do it with that whole tournament down to 21. Get your experience up.
I think it was under 41. There was a lovely, I'd say a lovely moment. It's one of those moments where I have a kind of love hate sort of relationship with Pardew. He doesn't know this, obviously.
Of course.
But I just kind of, if I saw any other manager jump into the crowd and come out with his shirt untucked after scoring a last minute goal, you know, getting themselves out of the relegation battle, so to speak, I'd be like, oh, well done, brilliant. But because it's Pardew, I don't know what it is when he's, you know,
it feels really fake. It just feels like he wants to be one of the lads.
Because he's so good at PR, because he is quite a good PR sort of operator, usually. When he does stuff like that, I can't help but sort of think a little bit cynical, a little bit cynical.
He's sort of like he knows what he's doing.
But there was a lovely moment where he come out of the crowd and half of his shirt was untucked, and a lot of the crowd was shouting, took your shirt in. And then he looks down and he just pulls his whole shirt off and goes, fuck it. It's a lovely moment.
I heard actually that he, in the Steve Harper business, didn't confront Steve Harper. He used to kind of arrange meetings and then not turn up, and it was Harper that had to go in his office and say, look, what's happening here? And he sort of quite sheepishly, we're not going to offer you another contract.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a little bit of...
I heard stories about that with Mark Hughes at QPR, how when he turned up at QPR, everyone thought he'd be really big and really sort of like forefront. Apparently he's quite sheepish around people.
I think you'd be surprised, actually. A lot of managers like other people
you have a management team for a reason, don't you?
Well, that's a big moment coming up potentially for Newcastle, who next week play Sunderland. Given that Newcastle has been relegated recently, it could effectively relegate Sunderland if they beat
it. It would be good, wouldn't it?
That'd be great for you.
For Newcastle fans only.
Anyway,
that's the Premier League. The relegation battle is hotting up.
Oh, we should say we're recording this on a Sunday, so the Manchester derby is tomorrow night. That's why you won't have heard us talk about it.
But
a great win for United.
City have been dragged into it as well. Let's go on to the Championship, where Cardiff drew 0-0 away to Watford. Cardiff looking good though, aren't they? They're homing in on that first spot.
You can't see him.
Keeping in good form, staying in second. They beat Middlesbrough 1-0. Borough have had a terrible run.
Yeah, they really lost
12 in 15.
The Amiobi effect.
Well, I think it was before the rot had started, before he had arrived. I mean, they're 7 points off the playoffs, but they lost 12 matches in their last 15 league games. They're 7 points. Maddening.
Oh, they're nowhere. They're never going to make the playoffs now. But not a chance.
You know, a friend of mine's a Middlesbrough fan. He just says, "I don't know what it is. Just do not know what it is." So shame. But it would be worse to be a Blackburn Rovers fan. They're in the relegation zone. Yeah. They lost 3-2 away at Sheffield Wednesday.
I mean, there was a time this season where they were looking like, you know, serious promotion candidates to start with,
and then Henningberg wouldn't do that Michael Jackson impression.
Yeah, and then the spirit just went.
From beyond the grave, Michael Jackson, have an influence at Exeter City in the past, and Fulham, having an influence at Blackburn from beyond the grave.
They need to make a change, I think.
But it's hard to
<Boom. laughs> Just shows you that generally, consistency will get you nowhere. If anything, change it more often.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it, they've not changed it up enough.
But you've got something in recent history, they've had kind of like, this kind of like sugar daddy kind of benefactor that came in and rescued them. That's not going to happen again. It's just not going to happen again. It's too expensive. You know, these one man men sort of local heroes just don't come along anymore because it's just not enough money
in
the world.
I don't think Blackburn have won. I can't remember Blackburn Rovers winning a football match this season. Obviously they have won, but they haven't won. I don't think they've won at least their last sort of 12
games.
It's
strange because they've got some players with a lot of Premier League
experience.
They've
got some players,
a lot of Premier League experience. You know, Gabs Pedersen's there, David Dunn.
Danny Murphy.
Well, I wasn't going to mention him.
Saviour Danny Murphy.
No, do.
Yeah, okay.
We need to get him a move.
Talk him up.
No, we need to get him to move.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Huddersfield drew 2 with Peterborough. Both seemed to trouble. The Posh, 23rd. Town, 21st. Barnsley, they're down there as well. They got a decent point away to Palace. They had to earn it wearing Palace's away kit because referee Keith Stroud said the kits were too similar.
Yeah, good time to play Palace. Haven't won for a while. So. Yeah.
It's a strange one, though, isn't it? How surely the referee would be aware of the home the kit colours, of Palace and the away kit.
I don't know who's to blame in that situation. Yeah. I'm not really sure how it works, but yeah, that's a where. It's a bit of a strange one, wouldn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, but that surely is just the referee's judgment.
Yeah, but it would be a bit of weird if you. I mean, for example, if you went and see your team play and they were wearing the other team's kit, it'd be a bit strange, wouldn't it?
And I saw a clip, but I was too far away from the television because I was at work and I'm not shouldn't really be watching television.
More stories like that?
Would they just have their squad numbers, their kit numbers? Because their names would be on the back, wouldn't they?
Yeah. One thing we could all agree on, Pete, is it should be pants and vest.
Bibs, at least.
Yeah. Pants and vest.
No, they're just their pants. They've not brought their kit. Just your pants.
Skins. Yeah.
Skins. Exactly.
Used to love that.
I can remember being, because I'm quite fair skinned, I can remember when we did shirts and skins down the park. I would refuse to be on the skins team if I didn't have any suntan lotion with me.
Have you got any more stories like that?
Sadly, it does.
Just trying to make Pete feel better.
Johnson's Paint Trophy final.
What a game! I watched it.
The Crew won.
They played some lovely stuff.
They beat Southampton 2-0.
Did Phil Brown do some
Southampton? Southend, forgive me.
Yeah. Did Phil Brown do some sort of like karaoke to commiserate?
One thing I would say is the situation for those unaware. I know you guys all know about it. It's obviously Paul Sturrock took over Southend when they're in real trouble.
Doldrums.
They had like 4 full-time pros when he took over. Mm. He did really well for them. He's done a good job. He's effectively got them to this final, and he was sacked before the final could take place. And then they said, "Well, Paul, you can lead the team out at Wembley if you want." To which he said, "Fuck off! You know, I'm a professional. I've got some dignity." Mm. They hired Phil Brown. I would have thought that you would get the assistant manager to lead the team out of stuff, not Brownie. He's up there like a fucking greyhound. Massive grill on his face, nice new suit for the occasion in South End colours.
He's worked so hard to get there.
Yeah.
Was he looking sun-kissed?
He's sat there thinking, everyone here knows I belong here. This is my stage.
Phil Golden Brown.
Yeah.
I've conquered America on my bike. Now I'm conquering Wembley.
Yeah, but he didn't though.
No, he didn't.
They lost 2-0. Thank goodness.
And Crewe were on the better side. They really were. The first goal was a beauty. Absolute beauty. And Crewe have got this reputation for being good at set pieces and playing this sort of quite ingenuitive football. and the first goal was a beautiful corner, came across. And it was almost like they played the corner so far away from the goal, you're thinking, what are they doing? And then the player who scored ran in from deep and just rifled it into the top corner. It's a beauty. At Wembley as well, he's loving it.
Lovely goal.
Lovely goal! Yeah, it was lovely. And they've got so many good young players, homegrown players as well.
Yeah, it's their thing, isn't it?
It's the Academy of England, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you see, when you've got a player like Nick Powell, who moved on to United and stuff, they've still got players coming through. The guy who scored the second goal and man of the match, Matt Clayton, he's only 18, homegrown, doing it, doing the business at Wembley. Yeah.
Damn right.
It reminded me of something that someone said a while back about how like, the reliance on the transfer market is too big. Because a lot of teams will have a good catchment area.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just invest in infrastructure and bring these players through.
They're a shining example, Kerr Alexandra. Shining example.
Oh, Jim, I also liked the fellow who's on loan from Arsenal, Chuck Sanike. He's like this midfield player.
Yeah,
he looks
a bit
like Yaya Toure, but obviously he's not as good as that, but he's got the same sort of frame and sort of style as that. He was decent, yeah.
Yeah, we look forward to that.
Oh, and also, Crew, one last point.
We're not moving on yet.
Do you know who also plays for Crew? Matthias Pogba. Paul Pogba's older
brother.
Yeah,
that's right. He got injured, though.
He didn't play.
Yeah, he didn't play. It's a shame. Yeah. Big shame. So yeah, fantastic win for Crewe. Well done to them. And Southend, at least you've got Phil Brown to look forward to.
We've all got him to look forward to.
Let's go to the non-league.
We've
talked about Guernsey FC quite a bit.
Yeah.
Have we not?
They're a staple of the show.
They are indeed. They're going to... we talked about their fixture congestion. They've got 18 games to play in a month. That's a lot for anybody. So do you know what they're going to do, Jim?
I do know what they're going to do, but I'm going to pretend I don't so that you can tell me.
Thanks, man.
I'll just say I also know.
Yeah, we all know.
What are they going to do? Are they going to hand back their registration?
They're not going to do that. They're going to get their honorary president, Matthew Letizia, to come out of retirement and play for them. That's right. They're going to get a 44-year-old man to help out.
No, not just a 44-year-old man. A 44-year-old Matt Letizia, who didn't like running when he was a sprightly young man.
There are players that you see and think, he's kept in good shape since he retired. Matthew Letizia is not one of those players.
I saw this
story. He wouldn't even admit that he was himself.
No.
Yeah, that's it. Incredible.
Is he just taking free kicks?
I don't know, but getting an 18-year-old lad who likes playing football, they'd be better off with that, would they not?
Well, we're yet to see, aren't we?
I've looked at their fixture list. I mean, they've won...
I had to give them a boost, maybe.
They've played three games in April already, and they've won two of them. But the big thing is, in the last 10 days of April, they play seven games. And a few, I think maybe at least one of them's in London. Spiller, get your boots on.
Hey,
yeah. Get yourself down there, yeah? Up front with Letizia, eh?
I haven't done much exercise recently, and you know I'll be working the channels in that part.
Would you be happy to do Letizia's doggies for him?
I would. Yeah. I would do the doggies for Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. Write that on me bloody casket. What?
Yeah. Oh dear. Right.
It'll get past the ball. Get past him, and every defender where Hassault will just run back to goal. Because he's just going to start taking pot shots. He ain't going to pass it back to anybody. He's just going to leather it. He's going to launch it as hard as he can. He's going to see Tim Flowers.
Yeah.
He's going to hit it as hard as he can.
He'll basically be just like Steven Gerrard in the last minute of every game he's ever played. Where he shoots everywhere because he's knackered. Yeah. It's just be like that.
Great stuff. Let's leave England. Let's go to Scotland. It's the SPL. And Craig Brown's last game in charge of any club ever ended in defeat. 1-0 against Dundee United. What a shame.
So close.
What a shame.
To nothing. One nothing.
I know. He leaves them though. I think they're eighth, which is a position better than ninth, which is where he normally finishes.
Where did he pick them up?
They finished ninth for the last two seasons, I think.
I can't remember where they were when he picked them up. They weren't doing very well, I don't think. But he was talking to a reporter, and I loved it on the BBC. It was like Brown's last post-match report, and it should be given that kind of coverage, I think.
Yeah.
We all agree and can get behind that. And he mentioned in a previous interview that he'd been receiving a few offers for managerial positions and coaching positions, that kind of thing. And he was like, no, I'm quitting. But then the BBC inquired as to whether he was going to come out of retirement or go elsewhere. And the reporter sort of said, oh, Craig, are you going to go elsewhere? And he was like... Well, no, I've not said that. But you hinted at it, and I think he was saying it like nicely, as in, yeah. We don't want you to go. But Brown got a little bit irate.
Yeah. Well, there's Motherwell, there's Dundee, and so on.
Yeah. But I love it how he got a bit irate. He was like, but you've had offers and stuff, and he went, well, I can't stop someone asking.
He also did a little variation on the nothing. Because lots of people think that he doesn't actually say nothing, but he actually does.
Well, he does. Yeah.
In that interview, he said, oh, we're very close to making it nothing each. And he also
Craig.
Yeah. He also ended with one of my favourite ever quotes from any manager, when he starts talking about the interviewer asking him about how they were in trouble in the wide areas, and the reason that Dundee United got their winners because they were threatening wide areas,
oh,
and,
yeah,
the, and the fullbacks were over laughing, yeah. And and Craig Rowe was asked about the opposition fullback, I think he was a left back, and he went, he was arguably the youngest player on the pitch. Right, he either was the youngest player, yeah, or he wasn't. Which he is cannot- it?
Yeah, you don't debate that.
He's such a genial bloke. I love him. Yeah, he'll be a sad miss.
I did like it when he said, when they were talking about new jobs, that he went, I'm not asking, I'm not phoning, looking for a job. I'll never apply for a job, I can assure you.
Mm.
Don't worry, Craig, they will come to you, mate.
Yeah.
As they have done. And then, but he did reassure people that Aberdeen will be a power next season.
It's good to know, isn't it? Yeah, we're all exactly worried about
but
that.
He's left him in good hands.
Is Big Archie taken over?
No, Archie's gone as well.
Oh, is he?
I think it's Derek McInnes.
Oh, is it? Okay,
yeah,
right.
McInnes maybe.
Yeah.
Well, oh, I thought we'll miss him. He looks like
we're going to miss him.
One of those biscuits with the smiley faces on.
He does,
yeah, yeah, he does.
It's talking him, I think it's talking going to do a little sort of advisory,
well, like, sure,
coaching role in the MLS, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. And they will
bit of sunshine for him.
They'll kick on. American soccer,
yeah,
but yeah, he's going to be on the board, isn't it, Aberdeen?
When you're attracting the caliber of Big Craigie Broome, now you know you've arrived as a league. That's what I say.
Oh, you've got to love Papa Broome.
Yeah.
Right, let's go to the league. Barcelona beat Real Mallorca 5-0. Says Fabregas scored his first hat trick ever. But more importantly, Eric Abidal made his return after a year out.
Yeah,
following
that was lovely. Lovely scenes.
It really was. Mm. It's often a lovely, lovely scene at the Nou Camp, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Vianova back as well. You know,
as well, yeah, back on the touchline, yeah, first time since Jan, after he underwent treatment for cancer.
I thought someone ruined the standing ovation by holding up a sign which said, Abidal, see you at Wembley. Presumptuous.
Mm.
Very presumptuous. Was it Phil Brown?
yeah.
He's trying to sign him.
Because we're going
to
make it back next year, maybe.
When the Champions League final was at Wembley in the summer, Phil Brown's going to be sat in the dugout. You can't sit there, Phil. I'm always here, man.
I mean, I've got
residency here.
Like, wore a lovely t-shirt dedicating his
that's right,
dedicating the performance to
his cousin
who gave him the liver.
Oh. Yeah, that was a lovely touch. Yeah, it really was. And
Fabregas got to be annoyed though. Like, you know, it's classy, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hat trick. Everyone, I've picked the wrong day to do this, haven't I?
Really classy hat trick as well.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, Alexis was great as well. He got the other two goals, and it was just the Cesc and Alexis.
The first goal, which does sound a bit like almost like a lesbian sitcom.
Mm.
Cesc and Alexis.
Cesc and Alexis.
Yeah, there's loads of them around, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, gap in the market. You're welcome. You're welcome, media. The first Barcelona goal was a beauty. All sorts of passes. Passed them to death. But Mallorca are quite a poor team, aren't they?
They are. They
must be bottom, aren't they?
But weren't they 5-0 up at half time, or certainly?
I think they were 4-0 up at half time.
Real Madrid, they beat a team 5-1.
Goals in that.
Yeah.
Higuain got an absolutely brilliant volley, and Ronaldo sort of just had this wonderful. So Higuain again actually just crossed it over to him with some real power on the ball.
Yeah.
He just sort of dinked it up with his foot and finished it off with a volley. It was brilliant.
Yeah, we love that.
Mm.
Bloody love that. He must be well pleased with Higuain, considering you discovered
him. Exactly, yeah. I backed him.
Yeah.
That unknown at that tiny club, Real Madrid. And he's proven me right.
Absolutely. Real Sociedad beat Malaga 4-2. Especially with a big win in the race for fourth spot. Betis and Valencia are also in the hunt.
Well, they should win it because Malaga are fifth and they can't be in it. Well,
that's right, right. But as I say, Betis and Valencia are chasing that much coveted spot.
Sociedad are in some form, haven't lost
but
for ages.
Really, they've had a great season.
Yeah.
They've had a great season, as you would with Carlos Vela up front, scored another one.
Mm.
He's actually.
Dink.
I didn't see it actually.
Well, it was a dink. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't need to see it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's his position. He's a dinker.
You just need to believe it.
Number slipping nine, a dink.
Don't start that again. No, do. Bundesliga time.
It's over. It's done. It's wrapped up. It's unbelievable.
Typical of German efficiency.
We'll get all the other teams are German as well.
No, I mean the league. We'll get it finished a month before you. Yeah. You say 10 months, we can deliver it in 9.
I'd love it if they just stopped.
Yeah.
Right, whatever happens, when Bayern win the league, that's your position.
Yeah.
Lucky Bayern Munich.
They're very,
it's good to see the underdog, isn't it?
It always is. They beat Frankfurt 1-0. They win the title.
Was unbelievable as well. Schweinsteiger sort of back heel thing. Brilliant.
It'll happen. Their 11th successive league win. They've set the record for the earliest Bundesliga title win. They've played 28 in the league, won 24, drawn 3 and lost 1. They haven't lost a game since the 28th of October against Bayer Leverkusen.
I think Arsenal beat them, mate.
Sorry, is it a league game? I did say.
Yeah, Arsenal, the real
one.
That's
all I've got.
That was Champions League. It makes it even more of a remarkable result than Arsenal.
We're talking about Bayern Munich,
but anyway, but they haven't lost a league game since 28 October against Bayer Leverkusen, which is of course when Sydney Sam.
Sydney Sam
has ruined their unbeaten season.
Get me Sydney Sam.
And even if he does nothing else for the rest of his career, he can hang his hat on that dodgy deflected goal, which probably shouldn't even been credited to him.
When Sydney Sam scored that in the post-match interview, I reckon he was like, it was a great goal, and if those pen pushers down at City Hall don't like it, they can take my badge. That's what he would have said.
Great Nigerian impression.
Bayern Munich have conceded two goals away from home all season.
That's insane.
The next best defensive record away from home is Dortmund for 18.
What colour did Osram's first score after they won the league?
Red.
Imagine, he's known as Osram, isn't he, because he's got such a red face.
I'm sorry, yeah. It could have been purple.
I was thinking he cycled through all the colours he can do. Like purple, blue, yellow, red, back to red again, just like the stadium.
I'm going for puce.
It would be amazing. Is it possible for there to be a Barcelona Bayern Munich final in the Champions League?
I'm not sure if it works out that way.
Yeah, the Instagram picture of who was it who did it? Maybe Shaqiri, who did an Instagram photo of him celebrating the title win with another player, I forget who it was, but in the middle, Ribéry has photobombed him. Basically, he's just nipped in there, and the photo's been taken. And his face is one of the most terrifying things I have ever seen.
Nobody wants to see what he does to celebrate.
No.
Probably involves something horrifically illegal.
Yeah.
Bayern, talking of the Champions League, they did beat Juventus last week, the first leg of the Champions League quarterfinal. Beckenbauer was giving it the big one.
Yeah, no, I didn't like this.
A little bit disrespectful. He doesn't need to, Beckenbauer, does he? What's
A little bit disrespectful. Yeah, he's at Malvi so-and-so. He commented on David Alaba's goal in the first minute, saying, Alaba shot from 120 metres out. That's not true. he shot from, it was about 25 yards, I think we'll go for.
Different.
That's very
inefficient.
Yeah, no, I think I've probably made a typo, Jim.
That's very inefficient. Or inefficient. Because there's inefficiency all over this.
What you said, inefficiency there.
Yeah.
Anyway, inefficient.
Let me start again. Franzi B said, Alaba shot from quite far out and made Buffon look like a pensioner. There's no need for him to get upset, but he should be catching that shot. Don't try and tell the man what his emotions should be.
Then he piped up and said, I apologise if because Buffon came out and said, I quite like what Buffon said. He said something along the lines of, it was a poor performance by me, and because I'm one of the senior pros at the club, the other players probably took my lead, and it was why we played badly, and my responsibility is to play better, which is fine. Mm. And then Beckenbauer came out and said, I apologise to Buffon if he was offended by my pensioner remark, which would have been fine. Then he went, but he still should have saved both those goals.
Yeah. but the first one, though, it was a deflection and a spin on the ball. I mean, yeah, Buffon, a goalkeeper of that calibre, would probably want to do better, but it was a bit of a freak.
It's so odd. It's not like it's even going to motivate the Bayern players here in that, is it?
Yeah.
But they played like Juventus played like 3-5-2. It's like you don't do that against
Bayern. No, yeah.
But they play that formation quite a lot.
Yeah. Exactly. But like, do you really want to do that against fucking Bayern Munich?
I don't know. I don't know. But now we go to league.
I'd like to thank Murray James for that intro music.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, friend of the show, Murray James. Bloody love Murray.
You get on the show every week these days, Murray. We need to rein him in a bit.
Yeah, that's Murray fine. James. That's fine. I'd have him on. Rennes were beaten 2-0 by Paris Saint-Germain.
They were not. They were beaten 2-0 by D-Beck.
D-Beck.
Well, Menendez's goal was an absolute beauty.
One of the goals of the season, that.
Oh, can we just say, by the way, we forgot to mention it in the Premier League thing, the goal that Morales scored against Tottenham, he's done that again. That was a brilliant goal.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Great solid effort, but Menezes was very much like that.
Yeah, he beat four or five men and slotted home. And then
the defending was poor. The last man, I don't know who it was for Ren, but he just... This player, who's a quality striker, is coming at you like 100 mile an hour. Yeah. He just, like, wafted a leg at it.
I think he probably thought, he's beaten four men. It'd be a shame for this not to go in.
Yeah. It is really tragic when that happens, isn't it? I remember seeing Zidane do that for Real Madrid, just absolutely just pissing it around four or five players and then just shanked it over. That was nearly the best thing I've ever seen.
Well, I'll go back to the ultimate example, which would have been the greatest goal of the World Cup's ever seen, was Sol Campbell. away. Yeah. I say away, obviously.
But he was never fully in control of the ball.
Against Colombia.
Oh, he was. He done them all. And then at the last minute, he kind of slipped a bit and then he failed.
Like a man with one of those Diablo. Oh, shit.
I don't know what happened to you around that time in your life. You depined for it so much. Yeah. But it must have been incredible.
It was my greatest moment of clarity. but back to BSG, Zlatan got the second. Oh, but it was nearly a David Beckham goal.
It was. But
it was going in, wasn't it?
What a link up between the pair of them. From one angle, it looks like it was going in from one angle. Zlatan's angle. It looked like he did the best thing.
The Zlatan count was definitely Zlatan's goal.
Well, actually, I thought it looked as though it was going to go wide. But either or, it's an assist.
Indeed.
Yeah, you don't want to stand there and go, oh, see? Should have ended it, shouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly. Get
it's not what you're there to do.
Well, the 7 points clear of Marseille here in second. Ibrahimovic has scored 26 goals in the league in 28 games for the club.
Right, French league, isn't it?
Yeah. It is the French league, Jim. Absolutely. Let's go to Marseille, where Joey Barton's.
This is embarrassing.
Do we need to give us the option of publicity?
Yeah, I think so. He said recently, Neymar was like Justin Bieber, good on YouTube, but cat piss.
But how is
something.
Justin Bieber good on YouTube? It doesn't even work.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
I've only ever seen Justin Bieber on YouTube, and I didn't like it.
Indeed.
No, that's true. Joey Barton's like Oasis, good in the noughties.
In your face, Barton.
But what I find funny is, like, well, Neymar's good on YouTube. Well, YouTube surely captures images from reality.
Yeah. How often is Joey Barton staying up late watching feeds of the Brazilian league
He
knows so much about Neymar?
But we are only just at the start of this story, Jim. Thiago Silva responded to his tweet saying he didn't.
Which I, for one, am delighted about.
Yeah. Thiago Silva responded saying he didn't remember playing against Barton for the national team and had a little dig.
Which is quite a good one.
Yeah. Barton then replied saying, Thiago Silva, that same pussy that's been injured all season, another overrated Brazilian. Sort your hamstrings out, fat boy. And then again.
Sort your hamstrings out, fat boy. It's such a lovely phrase.
It's ridiculous.
A football specific insult.
Sort your hamstrings out.
Yeah. Yeah, sharpen up your crossfield passes. Yeah.
Duff hammies.
Brush up your third man runs.
Sort out your offside trap. During PSG's home tie against Barcelona in the Champions League, Barton tweeted, have to take what I said back about Thiago Silva being overrated. He's been immense tonight. Still looks like an overweight lady boy, though.
Lovely bit of transphobia there.
Mm-hmm.
But thing is, though, not that this really matters, but Thiago Silva would batter Joey Barton.
Yeah.
He would absolutely batter.
Almost certainly will at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I do quite like this, though, that what Silva said in the press conference about Barton, which Barton must have heard about on Wednesday morning, because he said, two questions for Thiago Silva. Firstly, why are you talking about me in your press conference? Very strange. Secondly, are you pre-op or post-op? Hashtag transsexual. Which is very, very crappy.
Bigoted.
Offensive.
Yeah. Thiago Silva said in the press conference about Barton, there is a Marseille player, I cannot remember his name, an Englishman, who said things about Neymar on Brazilian football and also about David Beckham and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Because no one is talking about him, it seems it is fun for him to criticise players for people to know he exists.
Which is absolutely right.
Absolutely.
We should leave him with the last word on that.
Professional troll.
Exactly. Barton was dropped to the Marseille bench for last Friday's game and will also go in front of France Football's Federation's Ethics Committee. And Barton and Marseille have had to apologise to PSG and Thiago Silva for this. It's utterly pathetic.
It's like, just like a schoolboy being punished by his headmaster. It's pathetic.
But Liga seems to have... you've got the great example of an English gent, you know, in Beckham, what one could argue, you know. Yeah. Certainly a very likable...
Well, you would
English
never fan. Be caught up doing something like that, that's no, for sure.
Exactly, and then Barton...
Could you imagine?
No, I literally couldn't. You know, you've got the best of both worlds there. Barton is dark. You know what I mean?
I guess he has to have kind of everywhere he goes. He's got to have resurrection. He's got to do something terrible and then be resurrected into this, you know, player who's quite tidy. So he's got to do something shit first. You know, that isn't a cigar in the face, really. Isn't it?
Yeah,
Pete. I think it might just be more that he's a bellend.
Yeah, it could be that.
Well, the career curve of the man is that he used to be a good player, you know, and he was decent.
Bad.
No, but the point is, he used to be a good player and he used to have a reputation as being outspoken. But as he's playing less and less and he's been farmed out to different teams. I mean, he's not playing the last couple of games for Marseille. I think he came off the bench. He's not been starting the last couple of games. He has to, you'll be able to see it clear as day. He'll have to do more and more outspoken stuff to be have the attention that he otherwise had in the past, you know. Yeah. And it is pathetic. Really, it's genuinely pathetic.
Really is. And on that note, it's time for Pete's game.
Is it Joey Barton?
No, it's not Joey Barton. I've neglected to think up a thing again, a name title.
Good effort, Pete.
Funhouse Brad Gunhouse.
I was going to go for the France Football Federation game.
That's not bad.
Oh, nice.
Not too shoddy. Yeah. But we're definitely going with Brad Gunhouse.
Yeah. Use that one next week, Pete.
Right. Forget that one, everybody.
Right, first clue. My middle name is Paul.
Stop. Brian Paul Gunn.
Stop. Paul Parker.
Imagine his name was Paul. Stop. El House Juve.
No.
Paul Parker.
Yeah.
Trouble
P. PPP. P cubed.
Have you been missold a PPP?
Have you been missold a Paul Parker?
Yes, says Alex.
Yeah.
My first club was Sheffield United.
Silence. Stop. Is it Sean Bean?
I was born in Sunderland.
Stop. Is it Niall Quinn? No, he's Irish. What, are
what does this game do to you?
You feel cover you in glory,
because,
certainly.
Because some speculative efforts have come on. You feel I've got to have a go.
You shoot from distance at every opportunity with your brain.
He once got Pierluigi Casiraghi in one game.
Well, no, and also Stuart Ripley.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
He's got previous.
Yeah. He's got previous. He's the Matt Letizia of this game.
I'm Lauren Robert.
I scored the last hat trick at Old Wembley for an English league team.
Ooh.
No.
Stop. Clive Mendonca.
It is Clive Mendonca.
We've done this recently, Pete.
What? No, we haven't.
I was going to say that because this is so familiar.
You're an idiot.
And I got it last time as well.
The two things he's got to do, right? One, think of a name for the game, which he doesn't do.
Yeah.
Two, get players that haven't been done before, which he doesn't do.
Oh, God, he lost guys like that. I was the nephew of a West Indian drinker.
We know!
I auctioned my prized possessions from his
career.
That
was a clue with the last one.
To help his wife set up a business.
Is that a little printout?
Oh, it's nearly the end of the season. I'm not getting relegated. I'm dialing these performances in. I've got one foot on the beach. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Apologise to the public who feel you've let them down. People look forward to that game.
Oh, you know, I got it again.
Yeah, Clive Mendonca.
And that's consistency, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, guys. We're not talking about Drogba's shin volley. Check that out on YouTube.
He
sort of shins it, and then the keeper heads it in himself.
Or Di Natale's goal, which is an absolute beauty.
Yeah. Oh, too many things.
Two good goals. Mm.
Let's have some correspondence.
Okay, the question of the week this week was... Clive Mendonca wasn't really.
No.
Mario Balotelli was caught smoking in a train toilet this week. What player can you imagine getting caught in a toilet, and what would he be doing? First of all, thanks for all the Kevin Keegan answers. I'll start with the best of them because there were quite a lot.
So I've got to be nice to the listeners by coming up with a new person every week, and then they, they go against my trust.
Yes.
So what,
Can I just say, as a general rule, if you are thinking about getting involved in the question of the week and you want to do a Kevin Keegan answer, you're going to need to get in within about 30 seconds because otherwise we'll be bored of reading them. Charlie Harris says, Kevin Keegan with his foot stuck in the toilet, toilet paper scattered across the floor and the sink filling up with water. It's funny because it probably would happen.
Yeah.
Gareth Brown,
I
like this one. Gareth Brown says, Clark Carlisle will take a marker and correct all the spelling mistakes inside the stalls.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Dan Towsley on Twitter says, Raheem Sterling in the ladies writing his number on the cubicle door.
Boom.
Dev on Twitter also says Gareth Southgate having his head flushed down the pan by Roy Keane.
Oh yeah.
Joe Dawson with the sort of pessimistic shout, John Terry having sex with my girlfriend.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Not very nice.
That was one of the most popular ones on the Facebook, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah. this is a brilliant one. Alex Milsom, Andy Gorham starting a fight club.
That's amazing.
He's got mental problems.
Oh, I think I'll end with Luke Pemberton, who says David Beckham with Rebecca Lewes.
Oh, nice.
Much more our standard.
That was never punned. I'd have gone with Stephen Ireland attending to an emergency alarm. because it was his nan in there.
I go for Archie Knox and Walter Smith bog washing Chick Young.
Yeah,
bog washing.
The only one I could think of was Brendan Rodgers in there with a cleaning cloth removing the stain job, not the paint job.
I like it. Todd Grip just gripping himself.
Yeah, why not? I'll go for
that's
that.
That's good, that Marcus.
Yeah. Well, it's actually one of Jim's old gags.
Is it?
I've rehashed.
Well, thanks. It saved me having to come up with one.
His comedy's moved on since then.
It's alright to rehash things, so there you go.
There you go. Yeah. It's profile time, ladies and gentlemen. Who have we got? It's Michael Owen.
That's what they'd be like if you were doing it, Pete.
That's a dig at you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go sit through that shit again.
Naughty. We've got a chap called Dejan Petkovic. Silence falls.
No, I know who he is.
Well, we all know who he is. Give us a cheer or something.
Hooray! Pet!
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you're talking. I read Pet. he was born on the 10th of September 1972.
Just 5 years after the Summer of Love.
Now, you might be wondering, who the hell is this chap?
Mm.
He's probably, he's, damn it all, the most popular European player to ever have played in Brazil.
That's some going.
Until Seydorf takes his mantle.
No, he won't do.
But yeah, Seydorf's got some way to go to top this guy.
Didn't he get sent off for going off the wrong side of the pitch?
That's right, yeah. He did. Petkovic never did that.
No.
We've received a number of emails about this man, actually. And he's a classic number 10, I think. And born in Serbia, or former Yugoslavia. He was brought up in a remote town situated in the Serbian hills. Started his football career at a very young age and could never have imagined where his talented feet would take him, Jim.
A lot of them do, but we rarely get a Dean Windass Hall of Fame entrant who started his football career at like 30. Yeah. They all start at a young age.
Do you think?
That's one of the keys to being a
pro. Well, you say that, but at the age of 16, he became the youngest player ever to play in the top flight in the old Yugoslav league. 16 years and 15 days old.
Sorry, how does that contradict what Luke just said in any way?
That endorses my point.
It endorses it, Jim.
Oh, sorry, who's that shouting from within the Dean Windass Hall of Fame? Is that Kanu? Oh, hello. Yeah. Less fair now.
Kanu didn't start at a young age because football hadn't been invented then.
Yeah. He was a forward-thinking creative midfield player, as we said. The former Yugoslav produced a number of these types of players, it's safe to say, and Petkovic was definitely one of them. Playing for his first club, Radonjici, he scored 34 league goals in 53 games over 4 years there. So it wasn't too shabby at all, good start. And it's got him a move to the mighty Red Star Belgrade, who were huge, especially in the early 90s. They've won the European Cup. But
that is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, really is. Yeah,
and that will not happen again.
No, absolutely not.
That's why he went to Brazil, probably. Well, fed up with this.
Well, I think. Well, he wasn't there when they won the European Cup, and just after that, great side, an exodus that happened of the top players, including Savicevic, Pančev, Jugović, Mihailović, name a few.
Prozinecki,
mate.
And obviously, the civil war that had kicked off, a lot of the big names left the country, understandably. Mm. But this meant the 19-year-old Petkovic went straight into the first team. Now, a great dribbler of the ball, loved an assist, and was a free-kick specialist. One of his coaches described his dribbling technique by saying, when dribbling, he chose the precise moment when to change the direction and the tempo. It was an impulsive movement that changed from a sleepy, quiet stance into an explosive, cat-like series of moves, which made him uncatchable. He was extremely fast. Mm. You can't argue with that.
I'll be happy if someone described me like that. Never going to happen.
I'm not too sure when in his career he gained this nickname, but it was due to his physical fitness. He got the nickname Rambo, which is great, really. Isn't
nice.
It? Yeah. Red Star Stadium.
You're going to say he actually shot someone in the face.
he took on everybody
in the village.
Red Star Stadium was nicknamed the Maracanã, which is a little insight into.
What future.
What was going to happen?
That's already the name of another stadium, though, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. In Brazil. He won two Yugoslav leagues and cups with Red Star, but by the mid-90s, when he was due to leave, the country had broken up and was in a terrible way due to the civil war. And so in 1995, he left to play for Real Madrid. It was in 95 he finally got his first call-up for Yugoslavia. But his international career wasn't really what it should have been. He only earned 7 caps in 4 years. Due to fallouts with the coach and also when he went to play in South America, he wasn't really considered. So he didn't grace the international arena nearly as much as he deserved to. Hmm. But at the age of 23, he went to Real Madrid. Excuse me. He had a funny time in Spain. He kind of soon loaned out to Sevilla.
Yeah, it was strange though. He barely featured for Madrid.
That's right. He went straight to Sevilla, didn't have a great time there. And the following season, he went to Racing Santander. And again, didn't fare too well. And back at Real Madrid, Fabio Capello had taken over and told him that he was pretty much surplus to requirements. Interestingly enough, though, he played in a friendly tournament before leaving Madrid. And in the friendly tournament, he played against Brazilian side Vitória. Now, this is where the story really takes a turn, because Petkovic, he left Madrid. He was looking for a club. He left Madrid in his 20s to sign for the Brazilian side Vitória, which is incredibly strange because so many Brazilian players come to Europe, but a real quality player going to not a small club, but not one of the big boys in Brazil was remarkable. Yeah. And they absolutely, I mean, instantly the fans of that club loved him for that. The fact he'd gone against the grain and done that. And Vitória had just sold Bebeto as well, so they're looking for someone to replace him at the club. And they found it in Petkovic. And it also made an incredible impact at the club, impressing everybody in Brazil. His impact there was huge, like the whole of Brazil, because obviously they were all watching him. Mm. Who's this little guy coming on from Real Madrid, for crying out loud, to play for us? And in two seasons, they won the two state championships, Vitória. And he was in the northeast of Brazil for 2 years until the club's financial situation meant that they had to sell him. And he went back to Europe to play in Venice. But he was only there 6 months and thought sod Europe. Brazil's where it's at.
Because wasn't it later on, wasn't it, when the people were looking back at his career, were they not saying that if he had stayed in Venezia, even though they weren't anywhere near as good as the teams he was playing for in Brazil, he'd have had loads more international caps.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But
so that was almost like a sacrifice he made.
Exactly. And he never actually played for the Serbian national team, which is a bit of a shame. But those 2 years he played for Vitória, he was voted by the fans of that club their player of the 20th century. Which is absolutely extraordinary. Okay, they might not have the history of players that Vasco or
Vitória.
Yeah.
That Bebeto.
Well, exactly. So do you know what I mean? So he didn't do, Bebeto wasn't there for too long, but still it's a remarkable achievement for a player. And then from Venice, he went back to Brazil, and
but move on, didn't he play like 30 league games for them?
Yeah, something like that.
That's
Yeah.
There must have been some performances. Well, get them on DVD. They're amazing.
Well, this is why. Obviously, he's gone back to Europe to play in Italy, and so the Brazilians must think, okay, well, he's come here, he's had a good time, off he goes. And that's the end of him, kind of thing. But no, that wasn't the case, and Brazil wanted him back, and Flamengo, the big boys, got him back. He was given the number 10 shirt there.
It's huge.
Yeah, Zico.
Yeah,
you know, and this is where he played some of his best football. He was affectionately called Pet, obviously Petkovic, although I think it was because locals had difficulty pronouncing his name. Mario Zagallo, former Brazil player and coach, of course, said during his time coaching Petkovic, he said that Pet is one thing. Flamengo with Pet is quite another. Without Pet is quite another. He influences the whole team, motivates them, empowers them. He provides the balance that the team needs. And we all know perfectly well, Pet is Pet.
Really, really can't say it.
Yeah, absolutely loved him. One of his most famous goals in Brazil was in the state championship final against rivals Vasco. Now, those games are huge in Brazil. They certainly were in the 90s. And it was in the last minute. It's at the Maracanã. So there he is playing again in that stadium. Go full circle. And last minute curls in a beautiful trademark free kick in the top corner. The scenes are superb.
He absolutely loved the celebration as well.
Oh yeah,
he celebrates every goal like it's,
the fans,
like he's Inzaghi.
The fans of that club, they cite that goal as one of the most memorable moments in like the club's history.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, it's so funny how we don't really know him.
Yeah,
he absolutely loved out there. Quite oddly though, he was playing for Flamengo the year after. He struggled a bit and he didn't have a great year, and he was sold to rivals Vasco. Now, he's already a little bit of a journeyman, but this is when it became ridiculous, you know. He was sold to Vasco, and he was there for a couple of years, won a state championship, you know, became a favourite with the fans, then a brief spell playing for Shanghai Shenhua in China.
Drogba,
yeah, paved the way
Anelka.
For that. He back at Vasco, he left there at 2004, had a short spell in Saudi Arabia before returning to Brazil once again to Fluminense. Now, the fans of Flu were concerned that he, you know, he was 33, over the hill, previous affiliation with Flamengo didn't endear him to the supporters, but he won them over with some great performances and turned them into title contenders, although once again the Brazilian league title evaded him.
Then he left Fluminense and had brief spells at Goiás and Santos and Atlético Mineiro in 2007-2008. So he's going all over the place playing little spells. And by this time he's well into his 30s. But in 2009, at the age of 36, going on 37, he rejoined Flamengo.
This is where I remember him. Because right. He kept popping up because he was decent.
Yeah, I mean, 2009, a few years ago, and the fans rolled out a huge Serbian flag in his honour and the scene was set for Pet. And there was a few concerns about his age, of course, and would he find his form again? Would he tarnish the reputation that he'd previously built up there? And so he started on the bench. He started on the bench, but slowly but surely, as the weeks went by, he got into the team and started to find his form. So much so that he was a leader on the pitch, and the players like would call him Dad.
That is disrespectful.
And he suddenly just drove that.
Call him Dad.
It's crazy.
Every time, Dad, pass it.
Dad.
Cheeky. Yeah. Every time, cheeky.
And he pushed them towards the title, and it went down to the last day. Four teams could win the league on the last day.
He hadn't won the title at that point, had he?
Never won the league title, and on the last day he set up the goal that sealed the league for Flamengo. Oh, yeah. They bloody won their first league since 1992, which of course gave him legendary status at the club. At the age of 37 that he'd done this, he was named an honorary citizen of Rio. He'd already been inducted into the Brazilian Hall of Fame at that point, becoming only the third European player to receive this honour.
I remember him scoring a Panenka Peno against Rogério Ceni as well.
Okay.
Yeah, they might have think that was that season.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a nice one.
And he retired in 2011 playing for Flamengo, and in his last game for the club all the players wore Petkovic's name and number on their backs. Another stat about him, I think he scored 8 goals from corner kicks in his career, which I believe is the most from a single player in the history of the game.
Yeah,
it must be.
Gotta be. Yeah,
that's
gotta be.
Insane.
So, absolutely incredible. And there's a documentary on him called O Gringo, but they loved him in Brazil to the point of that they wanted him to like play for the Seleção, play for the national side.
could he, that's an interesting one. Could he have done that?
No, he could have done, because Yugoslavia, they'd finished.
Okay, right, so he could have done
then that. He would have gone on and played for Serbia.
That would have been amazing.
If he'd have got citizenship, But I think for attacking players, especially in the late 90s,
the thing they're crying out for is a number 10. So he's not like England, we'll snap him up straight away. They'll play him on the left wing.
Yeah, that's right. Got a bit of skill, get out wide. A remarkable story. A big thanks to Luke Ginnell for his article on Petkovic and for In Bed with Maradona. Provided a lot of that information for me. But a wonderful player. An honorary Brazilian legend and deserves his place in the Dean Medal. Come on in. Yay. Come on in, Rambo.
Well, I'm Pet.
In he comes. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
Pet, you like him because he's called Pet.
Yeah.
Stay true to yourself, Pet.
I just like him because he's called Dad.
Oh, yeah.
And I often call my teachers that.
Still has teachers.
Indeed, he does. That is it, ladies and gentlemen, for this week. If you want to get in touch, that you want to rest your show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the website, get over there, is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Lots of love.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, darlings.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.